Let your wind blow through here, Lord. Let your glory settle in these hearts, Father. Let your glory settle in this house, Father. Let your wind blow through here, Father. I thank you, Father, for the stirring of your wind, the stirring of your promise, the stirring of your inheritance. I thank you, Lord, that you stir us, Father, by your wind, that you breathe upon us, Father, with your breath, Father. And I thank you, Lord, as you're breathing upon us, there's a shifting, Father, in our understanding. There's a shifting in our atmospheres. I thank you, Lord, that there's an opening, Father, that comes, Father, just because the kingdom of God is being released in this land. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Good morning. It's good to be here. And it's good to just get to do what God is calling you to do and to release what God's calling you to release. And if you would, turn with me to Acts 2. This will be a little bit different day because basically sometimes we're called to teach and sometimes we're called to just be a father. So I'm going to just be a father today. I'm going to tell you some things because sometimes we need to just share things, not just out of the word, but also out of the foundations of the word that are current to what we're going through. All right. So anyway, with all that said, I just want to just say that God is an immutable God. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can count on him. He's not going to go away. He's not going to fade away. He's not going to fade out. He's an immutable God. He never changes. And that doesn't mean that he's never giving. That doesn't mean that there's not a place in him that something can't be worked with. You know, because sometimes when we see never changes, we just think, well, he's just, you know, he's uncaring. That's quite the opposite. He's never changing because he is caring. He's never changing because he knows you need something that's a rock bottom that you can count on. There's somewhere, so now we have a place where we can count on the rock. So that with that in mind, I'm going to get there and talk about those things. But there's some other things that I want to talk about. They're kind of a little bit more of a current event. You'll find out in just a second. Acts 2. Verse 44, we'll start with that. It said, all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with them all as anyone might have need. And by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Flip over to Acts 4, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. And we hear this, and the reality is that one of the things that people sometimes misunderstand is that when people are talking about socialism, they say that it's biblical. This, yeah, I hear it. Okay? They say socialism is biblical. And then they point to these scriptures as if that proves that it's biblical. But see, what they're trying to do is achieve the result without ever going to what initiated the result. Without ever acknowledging God, without ever acknowledging the change of heart, without ever acknowledging anything that was necessary for that result to occur. quite the opposite. Socialism is about making the state your God. That's what, if you boil it down to one thing, that's what they're doing. And so what you see is it shifts. When they begin to do that, then they begin to shift things so that they take away any relevance to God. So we can see by that that this socialism is not something that's biblical. It's not of God. But it's something that people want to think. Because, see, there are some similarities. And the other thing that they will do is they'll point to the journey in the wilderness and say Exodus 16, verse 8, I believe it is. They'll talk about from there, from that aspect. But see, what they're pointing you to there is something that was a given thing that was happening, a sharing that was happening because of the situation they were in. And they were in a wilderness, and that was never God's best for you. That wasn't God's best for them. It wasn't even supposed to be his original intention for them. It was what he had to do in order to educate them and bring them to a point where their heart could be attached to him enough that he could bring them into the promise. What we're doing right now, what we've been setting up here, when we're following the path up and we're going into the things of God and we're perambulating with God and all those kind of nice things, what we're doing is we're establishing the things that God was looking to be established even in the wilderness. Let me give you some context for these scriptures here. See, in the wilderness, in the wilderness, basically, that was a training them for dependence upon God. It was training them how to make enough room in their heart to receive what God wanted to do. To see and understand that those miracles were happening for a reason, and that was to cause them to be attached to him. Let's go back to Acts 2 and verse 37. And let's see how this began to unfold. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Without a heart change, none of the rest of it is even possible. A heart change is the only thing that's going to change this nature that's in people's hearts. You cannot legislate generosity. You cannot legislate benevolence. You cannot legislate equality. It doesn't work that way. Because why? Because the nature of man is attached to those things, and it will not freely give it up. There has to be a heart change. What we're witnessing here in this scriptures was there was a heart change from them, and there was at the infancy of this whole Christianity and the Christian movement, at the very infancy of it, there was an influx of generosity that happened. Because why? Because how better to make a statement that there's been a shift and a change than for that to happen in you? When people began, you know, I mean, when I got saved, the people around me understood that I was saved. Why? Because I was no longer the same grouchy, itchy person that they had known before. They saw the change. If somebody all of a sudden their heart becomes very generous and liberal, and they're all of a sudden they're doing what they can to further not just themselves but those around them, that's something that's going to be noticed. It was part of the way he was evangelizing in that moment and in that day. Hallelujah. So when Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," they also received a new nature. "For the promises to you and your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And with many other words, he kept solemnly testifying, kept exhorting them and said, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And so we see that they were saved. And we see that they began to have a sense of awe in verse 43. And then that's when they began this shift. But the shift is necessary. The shift was necessary, especially for that moment, because it was his way of announcing something has changed Now you can take a note to it. Hallelujah. Okay. Know this, that what's going on in our world out there is it's on purpose. It's intentional. It's not just merely random acts that are happening. Okay? We think that because we're living in it, well, a lot of times it's real easy to get caught up into thinking it's just random acts. But these things are being manipulated behind the scene so that somebody can prosper. And it's not going to be you. They're intending, see, that every socialist movement was always intended to prosper a few at the expense of the many. They advertise it as everybody's going to be the same. Everybody will be equal. Well, you can't legislate equality. Everybody will be equal. That's never the case. No one in any of those situations has ever been equal. My son's long-term girlfriend, hopefully, just prophetically, his soon-to-be wife. She was born in Cambodia. And she was born in 1970. Okay? And basically, her dad was part of the previous government. So they came in. They came in and he fled when the Khmer Rouge came in. He fled, left his whole family. Not a very outstanding character. He just left his whole family and they were all there and he'd gone. But he was one of the treasurers of the government. And so he was taking care of official responsibility, but we'll see. But anyway, in this situation, they came in and they just immediately just killed her grandparents. She's five. She happened to be at the hospital with her mother who was having her baby brother. They came in. The next thing they did was they came and killed her mother while she was still on the table. She was hiding in a little closet, a little cabinet in the room. And saw and heard the whole thing. Now then, at 5 years old, she's all alone, responsible for a baby that was just born. She wound up working for the Khmer Rouge, and we're all the same. Well, that's not the truth, because some of us have guns and some of us don't, and those who don't wind up working for the ones who do. That's just the way it worked. And so basically she wound up working in the field, being a scarecrow. What else can, I mean, at 5 years old, that's the kind of job you can do. She was a scarecrow over some area of the crops. And she, in return, would get a handful of rice a day and occasionally an egg. That's the face of what socialism actually looks like. It's not the plan, the nice thing where AOC is telling you everybody's going to get a piece of the pie. No, not everybody's going to get a piece of the pie. That's what we need to understand, is that there's an agenda here that will prosper, that will prosper a few people at the expense of everyone else. It will actually take the national product of the United States and decimate it. The objective is not to sustain. The objective is to not make it easier for you. The objective is to enslave. It's happened in every place where this was brought in. Venezuela went from being the number four economic power in the world to they're not even on the grid. In Germany, we know what happened in Germany. They basically came in and basically, when the Nazis showed up, you did it their way or you're dead. They had a lot of help at first. Because why? Because you know what Nazi stands for? It stands for National Socialistic German People, Workers' Party. It was a socialist movement. That's how they got in. See, they get in by pitting one group against another. There's always got to be somebody to blame, and there's somebody who's justified to be who they are. And when they do that, they create this wedge that separates and divides. And what they did in Germany, now Hitler did a switch on them, because once he got in power, he no longer really cared about the socialist agenda. He cared about a nationalist agenda that benefited him. And so all we have people who remember the nationalist agenda, but they forget that he started off with a socialist. Again, it just shows what happens as they move into power. With the wrong kind of heart. See, that's the thing. A socialist government, the difference between what God did in the wilderness and what God did in the book of Acts and the socialist government is, a socialist government can never give you anything that they didn't take from somebody else. God is benevolent toward us. He's well-intended toward us. But guess what? Some of your leaders in power aren't well-intended towards you. We need to make sure where we stand. And I know that in this audience, I'm talking to people who already pretty much agree with this point, but I'm trying to give you some ammo so that you can explain these things to other people. Hallelujah. By the way, it's not exactly what I wanted to talk about. I like to do the rah-rah ones, you know, where everybody's all cheering and dancing and they're standing up and yelling, and those are fun. Yes, thank you, Sharon. Hallelujah. Okay. Recognize that when they're beginning to divide, there are steps that happen. We've already seen them. We've already seen them. First, they start removing your history. Then, yes, they start canceling things. That's part of it. So they remove your history. They remove and divide your God, your religion, your access to it. You know, in Germany, Hitler actually had them post up pictures of himself in every church, and if they wouldn't, he closed it down. They had to sing songs to Hitler, not to God. Or else they couldn't be open. There were people who tried to tell them that this was coming, and they got basically, you know, no one wants to believe that. No one wants to understand that. And people tried to make a stand, and they got basically imprisoned for their. Winston Churchill tried to tell people that this was coming, and no one wanted to hear it. Churchill said this about socialism. Socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. There's no God in that. There's no God. It's the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. I know you're trying to type it over there. But see, this has been going on. This is not something that's new. It's not even new to us. I mean, it's been generations and generations past. It's happened over and over. But it's failed every time. We don't have to repeat something. When they started closing churches down, and I can tell you that many large churches are still closed, even in this city. That was all part of the agenda. It's part of the agenda. I recognize and we understand the need to be respectful of our government. You know, if you look at Daniel was thrown into lion's den by his king. And when he got up the next morning and he wasn't dead, and the king went to see him, his very first thing is, "Oh, king, that thou would live forever." He honored his king. In spite of what was happening. "Oh, God, that thou would live forever." That's a pretty amazing thing when you think about it. Pretty amazing testimony on Daniel's behalf. When we cancel these things, the next thing they want to divide is you. And we see that in operation. It's in practice right now. Our obvious response is to love. Our obvious response is to not let hate define us. Hate wants to define you. But your response of hate, your response of anger to somebody else's anger and hate will only fuel more anger and hate. It will never respond, it will never douse the fire. Even as Daniel responded in love to a situation that wasn't loving, if we'll respond with love, we'll respond with not letting the thing change us. It doesn't mean that you become a doormat. It just means that you don't let what they're saying or what they're doing change the core of who you are. There's the core of who you are still needs to rise up and walk in the fullness of the Godhood that is in it. And when you rise up and walk in the fullness of the Godhood that's in it, then you'll begin to have a way to express yourself into the environment that will change the environment. Amen. When you carry the glory, your response is going to look different. When you carry love, your response will look different. When you stand in peace, your response is going to look different. The whole point of the chaos that's going on is to create this divide. The whole point of the chaos is that they need a crisis to solve so they can step in. So they manufacture one. When we start looking at it from this lens, it changes what we do. It changes the why and the what. It changes because why? Because we're seeing now past the immediate agenda. I do want to support, like I started that thought a minute ago, I do want to support the local, and we did close the church for a couple of weeks, But at the same time, we have to stand before God. So when it became evident that they weren't intending to anything other than they weren't intending something well, then we changed what we were doing. Hallelujah. So you can't come into it and try to duplicate the result without ever acknowledging the source, without ever acknowledging the heart, without ever acknowledging the God who came before all those other events. If we will be consistent about acknowledging our God, if we will be consistent about acknowledging our source and making God our source, then these things will not stand. I told you that they claim that this is, you know, that socialism is biblical, which we just now have seen enough to know that it's not biblical, it's not godly. But community is biblical. Unity is biblical. I know that Justin's been preaching unity in a big way. Unity is what we're seeing happening within our body. Unity happens when people will draw closer to God. Unity is a natural extension of the fact that we came and we began to worship and we began to honor and we began to encounter our God. And as we're drawing closer to God, we're also drawing closer to one another. That's the ultimate answer, is to stand in unity, to stand in unity with the Father. So that the more that we start going up the mountain here, the more that we start entering into His presence, the more we allow that His presence and His love to change us, the more we're going to be able to draw and rely upon one another. You'll be a source for me and I'll be a source for you. Know the soldier next to you. Get in community with the soldier next to you. Because when you're in community with the soldier next to you, now you got a platform to speak into their life. You got a platform to love on them from, but you also have a platform to be strengthened from. Amen. Sharon liked it. Hallelujah. Know also that unity is not conformity. Unity is not conformity. In Cambodia, everybody had to take off their clothes and they were stuck in a thing and they turned them all black. All their clothes. Everything, the only color they were allowed was black. Because that identified them. They were trying to enforce unity by making conformity the rule. See, you weren't allowed to be an individual. You weren't allowed to think. You know, the way that Americans think, that was not allowed, and that would get you in trouble. And so they wanted to make sure that they understood by this, the very fact that how they were identified when you looked at them, that they were all alike. But you can't enforce. The unity, conformity will never make you into unity. Conformity doesn't mean anything if there's not a heart that goes with it. Hallelujah. I'm going to steal something from one of the popular movements right now, but I'm going to modify it slightly, and I'm going to say, my property, my choice. My property, my choice. When we read the book of Acts, they had the choice. When you read the book of Acts, and it says, and Peter, when he's talking to Ananias and Sapphira, he asked them, "Why, while this was in your hands, was it not yours? The authority belongs to you as an individual, and then you have the option to do what God is putting in your heart. That's a very different than the state owning you, or the state owning everything you have." Okay. Now, back to God is immutable. Go with me to Hebrews 4. Actually, maybe make that Hebrews 3 if you're not doing what I'm doing and going through a Bible, but you're on your app. I hope, hopefully you understand some things now that you maybe didn't understand before. It gives you a little bit clearer picture of where we stand on those issues. But I just wanted to make sure that I'm speaking to the people so that we can understand the fullness of what's actually out there, what's actually going on, because we don't want to miss the seriousness of the moment. We won't want to think that this election is just like it was. I can tell you right now, these are not your mama's Democrats. Okay? It changed in the last 2 years. I know I shouldn't say that in church, but I just did. And I'm not I'm okay with it. If they come and drag me away to jail, that's okay. You guys will break me out. Amen. Amen. I like that idea. Ah, that's right. Angels show up in weird places sometimes. I rode home Friday night. I was riding. I had to stop and get gas. So I'm stopped to get gas, and as I'm getting gas, this car with these two ladies come over, and they just wanted to admire the motorcycle and whatnot. And it turned out that their names were Faith and Angel. I got visited on my way home. A Faith Angel showed up. I was like, okay, God, what are you saying to me here? That was awesome. I'm going to meditate on that some more. I'll let you know what falls out. We're going to be going over to Hebrews 4 here, but Hebrews 3:1 starts with this: Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. In other words, when we consider, we're to make him our daily covering. The one who is our apostle and our high priest, we make him a daily covering. Cody likes to use that word, consider. But when we consider, we're going to meditate what this means to stand under one who is our apostle and the one who is our high priest. Because as we engage with the apostle and high priest of our faith, now I can begin to see he was sent to rescue me. He was sent to bring about salvation, to make possible something that I couldn't make possible in myself, to make possible something that I could not understand without him. And as I stand there, and as he comes into my place, and he comes into the atmosphere that I'm looking at, and I allow myself to enter in with him as my apostle, and I begin to see that he's releasing something in me. He's releasing something and causing me to be his mouthpiece going forward and going out. He's releasing something in me to cause me to be sent and to be a sent one as he was a sent one. He's releasing something in me that causes me to stand up and allow the word of God to be seen out of his graciousness and out of his love. And I get to see him as high priest, as I meditate him as high priest. I'm meditating the one who comes alongside me, the one who protects me, the one who guides me, the one who's there for me, the one who owns me, the one who sees me, the one who knows me, the one who wants me, the one who delights in me, the one who's there for me, the one who lifts me up and sets me up on a high pedestal, the one who brings me into a place with him, the one who sets me in with him. And it's this high priest that I see that as he does, and I see and understand, then he begins to open up the place of grace that's around me. He begins to open up the mercy and the grace that I have need of, and that my past might have need of, that my present might have need of, that my future might have need of, because he's the one who never changes, because he's with me. As I meditate him as my apostle and high priest, that brings me down into the place where in Hebrews 4:10, I begin to understand and see that I can now cease from my own works. I can cease and enter into his rest. I cease from my own works. Why? Because as I meditate him as my apostle and high priest, now I'm no longer having to do it on my own accord. I have one who's done it for me. I have one who's already there for me, who's already gone ahead of me and prepared the place. All I have to do is freely enter into it. And because he's immutable God, a God who never changes, a God who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he will never change. And as I stand in that place, knowing that he never changes and that he's already gone before me, I can recognize I don't have to do it myself. At one point in time, he told me, stop bringing your resume. It's the same thing that Anna was saying earlier, just in a different way. Stop bringing your resume. In other words, stop bringing your qualifications for you to be here. I don't change. I haven't changed. I was the one who rescued you. I was the one who saved you. I haven't changed my mind since yesterday. I'm not going to change my mind tomorrow either. Because, see, I was listing my qualifications to be here. I was bringing my qualifications with me. I can do this. I'm good today, God. I'm good today because I did X and X and X this yesterday. I did all these things. I lined it out. I got it done. I got your work done for you. He's not impressed. He's glad, but he's glad for me regardless. He's glad for me regardless, so I can cease from my own works, because my own works is not what's bringing me in. It's the apostle. It's the high priest that I'm meditating on that brings me in. It's the standing in faith, standing in agreement with him, standing in love with him, standing and being loved by him. You know, his love, knowing his love is not enough. Golly, it got really quiet. Knowing his love is not enough if you don't receive it. You have to receive it. You have to receive his love. You can't just know about it. You can't just have a mental assent for it, because his love is more than just something to be mentally assented to, mentally agreed to. You have to step into it and receive it. And when I receive it, now I'm ceased from my own work. Now I can let go. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. And as he does so, joint and marrow, and he's discerner of our thoughts and intents of our heart. That means when I come to him this way and I'm discerning him, I'm focused on discerning him. And as I'm discerning him, he allows that sword to come and divide soul and spirit for me. As I discern him, as I look into him, as I look into his face, I look into his love, I look into his grace, his love comes and divides soul and spirit. In other words, he casts out the old man. He casts out the bond servant. He casts out the one who was trying to earn his way in, because that doesn't need it. He doesn't need that one there. He doesn't need somebody trying to earn themselves in there. He needs somebody who just knows that they're an inheritor. And so then he begins to promote the new nature, the new man that was always in there, the new man who is with you. He begins to promote the new man. He begins to elevate him and bring him up. Where is he going to bring him? He's going to bring him into the throne of grace. But see, that old part, that doesn't have to come with you. And when my new nature can come in and come into the place and the throne of grace, and my new nature is coming into the throne of grace, guess what? I'm presented before him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. Because why? Because that's all that's in my new nature. Because my new nature is after the seed, is a seed after the one that it came from. It's after the place of heaven that it came out of. And that new nature is allowed to grow up. It's being expanded. It's being taught, and it's being nurtured, and it's being groomed even in his presence. So as I focus in and I allow him to bring me into that place where I've now discerned him as my apostle, I've discerned him as my high priest. My high priest comes alongside this new nature, and he begins to present me before the Father with everything that I have need of. And as he presents me before the Father, all that I have need of is now brought into a place of grace and mercy. I'm separated already. The old and the new. The holy from the profane. Those things that I no longer have need of. And sometimes those things are maybe even a good thing. There are some things that are good in one season that aren't very part of the season where you're going. Sometimes we have to strip off something that was a familiar thing, and that sometimes is harder than something that's clearly, you know, sin items. You can see it's a sin item. It's got to go. But sometimes we have to step in, we have to let go of something that's familiar in order to grab a hold of what yet has to come. But he wants to do all that for you at the throne of grace. He wants to cause you to come into a complete rest. A rest from trying to make it all happen in your own strength. A rest from trying to do it out of your own character. You know what? My mom has an awesome character. There are some people who are just characters. I'm looking at a few characters around here. I'm looking at but you know, sometimes you can have just an excellent character and an excellent integrity, but that still is not the qualification. But the qualification comes from the one we serve. The qualification comes from the one we love. The qualification comes the one we'll meditate on and allow him to speak into our heart until something changes and we can unlock those past and grab a hold of what he called us to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I've told you before, that used to scare me. What's that? Yeah. That used to scare me. Why? Because the things that I was doing weren't always lining up with where it was supposed to be. But now that all things are open and laid bare before him, actually is a point of great enthusiasm and excitement. Why? Because when you're doing the right thing, when you're doing and you're making yourself open, and you're making yourself available to him, and you're making yourself transparent before him, it's the best place in the whole world to be. It's the safest place in the whole world to be. And it doesn't matter what man has to say. Why? Because my God is affirming who I am in that place. So I'm no longer terrified that he might see who I am. I'm no longer terrified that you might see who I am. That's an uncomfortable place to be sometimes. But when we allow God to be the one who's speaking into our life, the one who's defining who we are, the one who's making the map in our heart, and making the map in our life, and who's the one who's deciding all those things, now all of a sudden we can just allow him to speak into those places. And guess what? It's nice to change it. It's actually wonderful to change it. Why? Because now we're both growing together. We're coming into that unity that was the main focus that he's wanting us to see. We change ourselves by allowing him to be the one who meditates, allowing him to be the one who's speaking into our life, and allowing him to define, because what? He's going to draw you closer to him, and he's going to draw you closer to those around you. Over the last 2 weeks, we had the 10 days of awe, and it was a time when everybody was just allowing the relationships this way to be healed, and then the Day of Atonement, allowing the relationship this way to be healed. The more you meditate, the more you consider the apostle and the high priest, the easier it is to enter in to the rest that is yours. To enter into the rest that's yours. To enter in to the place of his grace. That grace that causes everything that he's doing to be poured out. Grace is not something that causes you to sin or excuses a sin. Grace is what causes you to be able to fulfill his will in this earth. Amen? Amen. Something you wanted to add? Yeah? Yeah, come on. I know it's abrupt, but I'm ready. It's abrupt, but I'm ready if you're ready. Come on.
Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. I know this is a house of glory, but that was the best definition of socialism I've heard. And I think, and how you could do socialism and the throne of grace in one service is, and make it work, brother. I'm just telling you, that was awesome. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Because that they do use those scriptures, and people need to wake up. And I mean, it's just amazing. We're not dealing in the same arena anymore. We're dealing with spiritual forces now that have breached into this country, and you have to have a relationship with God to see in this hour now. If you don't, you won't see, and you can get shrouded over. There's shrouds coming in a lot of different areas right now, and you have to be, the higher places you go, the more glorious things are, the more clearly you see. You have to see clearly in this hour. And that was just an amazing, if the Lord would have told me you're going to preach socialism and the throne of grace, I wouldn't even know how to start that. But that was awesome, man. That was really good. It really was. I think we should post this and send this out to people, because it would help them understand what's going on. And then they'll get some of the throne of grace too. Just send it out, because they'll think it's political at first. And then we'll throw in the spiritual behind it. And don't even tell them. Just say, man, I want you to really hear this political message on this. And just send it to people. And then throw in and let God just bring them into the spiritual. And just let's see what happens. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Hey, let's put on that 285 for the Lamb. Let's all stand. Praise God. Glory to God forever. You guys pray. We need to pray in this election right now. It's everything right now. I mean, God's will is going to be done, but whether you want it done under persecution or whether you want it done under the proper covering is all up to what happens here in the next 3 or 4 months. And I'm pretty much guarantee it's not going to get settled on election night. But it's going to get settled. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, for the blessing and the inheritance that while things are shaking out there, we're moving silently in, moving in a position to receive a kingdom, Father, that does not originate with man, to receive a kingdom, Father, that does not originate with what is, to receive a kingdom that does not originate with what is, but what is to come, coming right out of your heart, Father, coming right out of the throne of your heart. And for this measure, we give you all the glory, Father, all the honor, and all the praise.